breaking down the biggest stories, talking about what really matters, and bringing you the biggest forum to let your voice be heard. Now, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, here's Steve Scafidi.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to Thursday Show. This week is flying by. Big news. Wisconsin State Legislature, Senate and Assembly, passing it on to the governor. Shared revenue bill, working through the budgets, trying to figure this all out. So the governor hopefully will sign it at some point with both sides in agreements. Now, I had a show poll today, a question. Originally, I was going to make a fun, but I decided to focus on the issue at hand. And for me, despite all the things that are happening in Madison, there's a question. We have a tax surplus, right around $7 billion. Billion, not a million. Billion. The legislature is wrapping up their, hopefully, their state budget work. Signature of Governor Tony Evers is kind of that final step. Simple question. Would you be disappointed if a tax surplus refund or tax credit is not part of the budget? Now, the reason I asked that question is because we've seen this before. We've received refunds and rebates and tax credits in a lot of different budgets over the years. Other states have done this. I think Minnesota just had something like this recently. I gave you a few choices on the show poll. Now, if you're not on Twitter, which is probably a good life choice, but if you are, it's at 620 WTMJ or at WTMJ Steve. Give me a follow if you could. You can certainly respond on the old National Bank Talk and Text line, 855-616-1620. Would you be disappointed if a tax surplus refund or tax credit is not part of the budget? Hell yes, it's our money, right now at 40%. Not leading, which is interesting. No, just lower taxes, 17%. That's going to happen anyway. Sounds like my conversations with Governor Tony Evers and Speaker Robin Voss indicate that's one of the things that's going to happen. So that one's pretty much guaranteed, I hope. And the last choice is use the money for other needs, which is a very popular opinion. I caution people, though, when you start doing that, if you spend down that surplus, find ways to spend that money in different ways, maybe that ways that haven't been utilized before, that's a one-time gift. When you create programs, when you create agencies, when you create new positions as part of a surplus or a one-time pool of money. And these are permanent positions slash agencies or initiatives. You have to find that money every year. We are not always going to be in this incredible surplus position. That's why that's challenging. That's why that's tricky. So give us a vote on the old show poll. And as I said, if you're not on the Twits or Twitter, as it's more commonly known, you can certainly weigh in on the old National Bank Talk and Text line. And as far as that goes, and I say this a lot on the show, it is the best way to not only get a hold of me, but any program on our station. 855-616-1620, 24/7, 365. It's always running. I'll get to some of that. We're going to take an early break in a little bit here before I kind of set up the show today. And it's a busy show. And it's kind of, we got some fun stuff. In the 9 o'clock hour, I'm gonna say a keyword. It's not a keyword you have to text to. It's just a word related to Summerfest. I don't even know what it is yet, so I haven't created it yet. But I'm going to say it twice in the 9 o'clock hour, and I'll tell you when I'm saying it. I'll say write it down, whatever. And then probably in the latter part of the 10 o'clock hour, maybe early 11 o'clock hour, I will ask for that keyword from callers. The first person to get it right gets a 4-pack of Summerfest tickets. So my clever producer, Brandon, is right now in his melon, commonly known as his brain, thinking of the keyword of what that might be. So once he processes that information, again, going through his very sophisticated melon or brain, gray matter, synapses, and the like, he will process that. He will give me that word. I will say it out loud on the radio. I will announce that I'm saying it, and we'll put it in the context of an actual, hey, this is the keyword. I will make it as obvious as possible, but I'm only going to say the word twice. So you got to listen the whole 9 o'clock hour because I'm not telling you when I'm going to say them. And then at a latter point in this show, this is all part of this dramatic announcement about Summerfest, which starts next week. At some point this week, which is going to have to be tomorrow now, think about this one. This has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about today, but I'm teeing this up. I need your amazing Summerfest stories. Look, I have friends who met at Summerfest one night and got married and been married for like 20-some years. I love those stories. They have bricks with their names on them and a little heart set on the Summerfest ground. I love that. Chris, you know who I'm talking about, right? And others. Love those stories. Heck, before I married my wife, Kathy, I think we hung out at Summerfest a little bit. Now, I'll be honest, completely honest, women that I met at Summerfest, I didn't marry all those women. We just went to Summerfest together. That's all it was. It was nothing more than that. It was a trip to Summerfest. Enjoy the great music. I actually had my shirt ripped off at Summerfest once. I'll tell that story at some point as well. Amazing Summerfest stories. Just send them to the text line or email, which is probably better. steve.scafidi2fs1d@wtmj.com. Email me your great Summerfest stories. I'll weave them into the show as we begin our ramp up to live shows from Summerfest. The Wagners of the world. Jeff Wagner, of course. Wisconsin's Afternoon News with McCure and Matzik and Max. You know, I just realized you all have M name. I just realized that. M. How did I just realize that? That's on me, because I should have realized that a long time ago. Was that by design? I have no idea. Grand design? I don't know. Who knows? All right, we'll take a break. We're going to be joined by one of those M's. Just between you and me, my favorite of those M's. We will have that conversation after this on WTMJ. I wonder if that's for my guest or for me. What is it, Producer Brandon? Is that for my guest or for me? Can't hear you, buddy. Can't hear you. There's buttons that have to be pushed. Anyway, Sandy Max.
He's still in
me.
His mind palace thinking of the word to text for.
The mic was turned down. I'm here. You can hear me now.
Yes,
yeah, I can hear you now.
Brandon.
But was that for me or for Sandy?
Oh, that is always for Sandy.
There we go. Classic rock.
Aren't you surprised?
It helps tell the story, you know?
I like classic rock. Aren't you surprised that I finally put together the three M's? I had no idea.
I didn't either until you just said it.
Yeah. It's like, did you guys think about that or no?
It's a great triumvirate. No.
See, even you didn't. Yeah. It just popped in my head.
This popped in my head. You know this song?
Oh, Supertramp. I love Supertramp. I've seen it probably a dozen times.
This is an appropriate song for what we're going to talk about.
Bloody well right.
You know it. Mm-hmm. WTMJ cares.
Bloody well right. WTMJ 917 with Sandy Max.
I want to create that emotional connection because donating blood is so important. And with WTMJ Cares, we've raised money for so many great organizations.
Everybody's done
in our community.
This is your chance.
This time, not asking for money, asking for a pint of blood, which might sound like a lot, and it is because it could save up to 3 lives, which I think is empowering.
You don't know this, but I actually ran into a blood donor. I was taking piano lessons, and there was a blood drive that was supposed to be there that got moved. And I ran into a donor, and I started asking her questions like I was interviewing her. She goes, "Are you interviewing me?" I go, "Well, that's my job, sort of."
How was that conversation with the blood donor?
It was amazing because
what did you learn?
There's a lot of people that are committed to doing this as often as they can. I've donated blood before on a bunch of different occasions. I'm not a regular donor. I might have to get into that mindset.
Every 56 days you can if you want to. It's a great habit to get into. First and foremost, let me tell you, if you are interested in donating blood, WTMJ Cares is partnering with the American Red Cross and Gruber Law Offices on a 3-day blood drive.
Nice partners, by the way.
One of these days. Hopefully works in your schedule. Monday, June 26th, Tuesday, June 27th, or Wednesday, June 28th at the Milwaukee County Zoo from 9 till 3. You can schedule your appointment right now. Just text the word BLOOD, B-L-O-O-D. Text BLOOD to our Old National Bank Talk and Text line, 855-616-1620. And you can 2 clicks away from scheduling your appointment. And it gets even better. You know you get the juice and cookies after.
I do.
And water and raisins. So whatever, however you like to.
You pick.
However you want to replenish after you donate blood.
And a trip to the zoo.
That's it. You will get free same-day admission and free parking.
Hello.
Plus a pair of tickets to Summerfest.
Wow.
As part of a reward and a thank you for donating blood. Whether you're a first-timer. Or, like you said, you donated, just kind of got out of the habit. We welcome you to come back and donate blood.
Why did you decide to make this your WTMJ Cares initiative?
Because it's something I care about. I think it's something that is, no one wants to say easy. Everybody's busy. But for an hour, I can make the time to do it. I don't always have money. I don't always have time to spend 4 hours at a different organization volunteering time. But I can get into this habit. And also, donating blood is good for your personal health.
Mm-hmm.
It can help your body operate better. So it's win-win. But it was one of those, I kind of got on a kick at one point where I wanted to do a good deed every month. So this was one of my good deeds. And then I found out I could do it every 60 days or so. There you go.
I love that attitude. A good deed every, what'd you say, every month?
Every month.
How about every day?
Well,
they
yes.
can't donate blood every day. But every 56 days.
Yes, but. Every 56 days. But we would love for you to participate because I had the chance to talk to Dr. Ben Weston.
I love Dr. Ben.
Milwaukee County Health Advisor, and talked with him on Wisconsin's Afternoon News the other day. And to me, it was amazing. You think you can't make a difference? Here's how few people are donating blood.
Only 3% of all Americans donate blood, but 37% of the population is eligible. So we really need folks to get out there, donate blood, and this event at the zoo is an outstanding way to do it.
That's rather startling.
That's what I thought, because like you said, you bumped into a blood donor
yeah.
and had the conversation, and it is good to feel good about doing a good deed. And you know, blood is needed, obviously, in traumatic times, but you're helping people at some of the worst times in their life.
Yeah, and there's sometimes it's really critical. I know we've gone through a period the last couple of weeks where it's been very, very critical needs for donated blood. And I've done it. It's not that complicated, folks. You lay there in a chair, basically.
That's what I was going to say. It's one of the most relaxing things you can do. It takes about an hour
yeah.
from parking, walking in, answering the questionnaire, getting your finger pricked,
yep.
and they do it gently, kindly on the side of your finger.
Yeah.
So there's not all the nerve endings there? I think that's really considerate.
There's no pain here. It's just something you can enjoy doing.
True. And I am squeamish and wimpy, and I also have low blood pressure, and I still do it. So I just don't look at the injection site.
Yeah, I don't either.
I look away.
I don't like that part of it.
It's all good. And they've taught me things like just kind of shake your legs to keep the circulation going if you mm-hmm. start feeling like maybe
you're almost dancing right now.
I know, yeah. I'm here for the helpful hints. But it's one of those things if you've just kind of really, one of the number one reasons people don't donate is they either were never asked and didn't think that they could. So
well, you're
we're asking you. Exactly.
Yes.
And you are making a huge difference. This is what Dr. Weston had to say about the blood shortage.
Every 2 seconds, someone is in need of blood or platelets, which is one of the components of blood. That amounts to 40,000 units of blood cells that are needed every single day. And the blood supply from folks donating just isn't keeping up.
So text the word blood, BLOOD, to 855-616-1620. It's our old National Bank talk and text line. Blood, 855-616-1620. We will text you the link. You can you'll be right there. You can schedule an appointment at your convenience on our 3-day blood drive, June 26th, 27th, and 28th at the zoo.
And zoo tickets.
Yes.
And Summerfest tickets.
Yes.
Those are That's insane. I mean, I don't know what a Summerfest ticket costs now, but that's not insignificant.
I think it's $25 for general admission. So a pair of tickets is $50 right there.
We're almost like handing out a honey to these people.
Maximize your summertime.
Do you deliberately use max when you talk about things?
I don't, but that just came out. But sometimes it's appropriate, you know? You can also
Clever.
Find information at WTMJ.com. But, you know, everybody's got their phone handy. So text BLOOD, B-L-O-O-D, to 855-616-1620. That's our old National Bank talk and text line. And we were just talking about the need in an emergency. I mean, if you donate blood, you really could change someone's life.
Yes.
In a terrible situation where it's either a car accident or something horrible and traumatic. But it's also used in a lot of other ways. This is what Dr. Weston had to say about other uses for blood.
A lot of folks need blood. It's critical to living, and it's critical to a lot of people who have chronic disease or acute disease as well.
Because it's used for cancer treatments. It's also used in organ transplants. There's a lot of different uses for blood in our daily lives in addition to those unexpected traumatic situations.
You know, we hope this doesn't happen, but if you have mass casualty events, a critical, critical need for a lot of blood rather quickly.
I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, so when that bank shooting happened a couple of months ago, I was shocked to find out it was 170 pints of blood needed.
Mm-hmm.
on the scene at that time.
Which in the scheme of, you know, millions of Americans doesn't seem like much, but trust me, with 3% of the population donating,
yeah,
that's a lot of blood. And if you can do anything to help, let's go through it one more time just so we all clear on how to donate.
Easy and breezy. First of all, schedule your appointment. You can do that by texting BLOOD to 855-616-1620. Text BLOOD to the old National Bank talk and text line, 855-616-1620. You can also schedule on our website, WTMJ.com, in the features section. But schedule your appointment. Show up to the zoo June 26th, 27th, or 28th, whenever your appointment is. They're from 9 to 3, so you can spend the rest of the day strolling around the zoo and enjoy your Summerfest tickets after you've had your juice and cookies. I will also say, as much as we want you to come out and be part of our WTMJ Cares group this 3 days, if you're somewhere and you got to work during the day, The American Red Cross makes it really easy, and they have very easy scheduling on their website. You just type in your zip code, you'll find a place convenient to you. The goal is to help save lives and be a part of your community. So donate blood, and honestly, you show up, it takes about an hour front to back.
It's look, I can be a wimp sometimes, especially with that kind of stuff. I'm very squeamish about hospital visits or getting blood drawn. I still don't look, but it's easy.
And the nurses are always nice, they're
pros.
Grateful that you're there. They want you to have a good experience.
They're the one pokers, generally. You know what I'm talking about?
one pokers.
The needle goes in, you barely feel it, and then that's it. You just sit there for the next however many minutes.
Because they are in a rhythm of, working with donors.
All right, I love the fact that you chose this
blood?
For your... And I also love the fact you chose Supertramp, because I don't know if you knew it, but I'm a big Supertramp fan.
I love it. We can play some
Crime of the Century.
There you go.
Yes.
I can play a little more for you. Can you just tell me some highlights of your pseudo interview with the blood donor you bumped into at your piano lesson?
We exchanged blood types.
What's yours?
She was an O, I'm A.
A positive?
A positive, yeah.
Hey, baby, me too. What's your sign? What's your blood type? See, you'll have something new to chat about with your friends.
I'm a Libra, right? Is that?
I'm a Cancer. That's not sexy at all.
No. It's because they're a buzzkill, actually.
But exactly. A positive. What else? What's a highlight from your conversation with the blood donor?
The fact that she does it every time she can. As soon as that day, 56 days, she's donating again. And she sought out that event, which was supposed to happen at the place where I get my piano lessons, but it was moved. And she was going to drive to the new place to go donate blood. I loved her energy.
Yeah.
And I remember, she told me her first name, I forgot it. I just love the fact that she was like a go-getter. And she's kind of around the same age as me, and that was just something she was doing. I love that. We
got
to take a break.
Thank you.
Are you going to stick around for the whole show and play Supertramp or no?
Not this time. This time. I have to go spread the word of WTMJ
Cares. You're very clever, Sandy Max.
But thanks to everyone listening. Thanks to everyone who's texted in so far from 414-262-920. Keep those blood texts coming and schedule your appointment to join us for WTMJ Cares with the American Red Cross and Gruber Law Offices.
I love it. We'll take a quick break. News after that on WTMJ. All right, everybody. This is number one of my mention on the keyword to win. You don't have to text it, so don't bother texting. You can text on other things if you'd like to. The keyword to win the Summerfest tickets, first mention at 9:36 here on WTMJ. The keyword is guitar. Guitar. There'll be a lot of those at Summerfest. That was the first mention. I'll do it one more time in the 9 o'clock hour. So pay attention. Stay tuned. You may have to stick around for the show today. No going off doing stuff. We're going to full attention, especially on this one. All right. Anybody who's been paying attention to the story of America, politics, our culture, the way we relate to each other, the rise of wokeness, all of this stuff. And this is not a conversation about wokeness. I'm going to start with this baseline because I think it's important for you to understand where I'm at on it. I celebrate diversity. We have to be critically aware of how important it is to recognize individuals, not by any specific unique characteristic, how they look, how they pray, how they do anything. That's a baseline for me, to understand that reality is something it should always be front and center in the way we look at things. But, and here's the but, I'm not sure that teaching in a classroom setting about diversity, especially in the way that it's been set up so far, is the right way to go about this. What does that mean, Steve? Why would you say that? And I made this point with Eric earlier in his show in the 8 o'clock hour when we were talking about some of the things that are challenging our country. And I said this, and this... people get so furious about this, but on its basic level, this is what I believe. There's been a massive conversation built around the idea that the problems in this country, the problems in this world, are all related to European colonists or people who came over from other places and basically conquered America or conquered South America or conquered anywhere. Ignoring, of course, that in the history of this of civilization on this planet, that is the story that's happened since man walked the earth, basically. And my basic premise on this is, If you start with that, it ignores something that I think is also a basic baseline principle. If you truly believe we're all alike, inside, outside, you can't go with the supposition or the premise that this group, this group is the problem, the source of all of our problems in this country or in this world. True equity, true equality, my opinion, means that all the things you accuse, whatever group you want to accuse of doing whatever they think you think they've done, true equity and equality means your identification, your group, should have all those same foibles, things that you believe that maybe aren't right, biases, internal, external. That's true equality. Not saying that someone was here first, therefore they know everything and they live the righteous life and they are perfect in every way. Not true. True equality, equity means we all have the same deficiencies. We all have the same faults. We all have the same biases and they're all built in. Now, conduct matters. I get it. And it's never okay to be racist. It's never okay to treat someone as a second-class citizen, or in the case of slavery, a subhuman, which is frankly horrifying. Why does this matter? Much of the recent conversation about the shared revenue bill, not much, some of it, had to do with a comment from the Milwaukee Common Council labeling this funding bill, and they did it in three ways: overreaching, micromanaging, and the last piece is, which pertains to what we're talking about, racist. And the council members who objected basically said this takes aim at diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives at the city and statewide. Again, my starting point is always good to be inclusive. My point, though, is, and I think where I'm unique on this, teaching diversity doesn't work as well as living diversity. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. These are really big, important conversations. They're not racist conversations. There can be disagreement even on this, because that's recognizing that, again, we're not perfect. I would argue that any attempt to paint legislation or some of the initiatives that have taken place before this legislation, like diversity initiatives, equity, inclusion, DEI, are not necessarily paving the way for more diversity and a better understanding of each other. That's my point. We'll take a break. Welcome your feedback and your comments. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. Your thoughts after this on WTMJ. Talking about the subject of diversity, the specifics. State legislature does not want to fund DEI, diversity, equity, inclusive initiatives at UW-Madison and generally throughout the state at institutions of higher learning. From the text line 608, Steve, I think we have too many victims and not enough of the I'm going to work hard to make something of myself type people. I'm done with victimhood. I need doers. I need people who are going to step up and do stuff. We have created a group of people in this country that just don't want to be part of this great country. They want to argue about everything. They want to complain about everything. They want free stuff. And I know that's a harsh thing for people to listen to. And I'm all about giving people a helping hand. Done it myself. Done it with my WTMJ Cares initiatives. That's how I live my life. Do the right thing, as my dad said. But I argue that trying to codify, or in the case of some of the coursework, to blame one group to boost another, I think is not the right way to approach it. That's my only take on it that I think spells out pretty clearly how I feel about it. I celebrate diversity. I love diversity. I like inclusiveness. We need to be celebrating all of our individuals to make a better we. I get all that. I just think there's a different way to do it. Rome Jones joins us on the phone. Hey, Rome, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. And I don't want to take up a lot of your time, but
Hey, you're breaking up, buddy. You're breaking up a little bit. Start over again because you broke up. Yep.
I said in 1990, Steve. Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, in 1990, I was a member of Donna Shalala's Design for Diversity Committee, and we wrote the State Design for Diversity Program for the university system. The original intent of the program was to level a playing field for minority students coming into the UW system. But what happened was the plan got co-opted by the members of the GLBT community, as well as several other groups that saw diversity to be more inclusive of everyone because of wanting a pluralistic society. And I can tell you that that's when people started to get away from wanting diversity because it became too inclusive. The original intent was to make the playing field level for people coming into the university system. When I came into La Crosse in 1990, there were there was not many supports for those students coming in from out of state, especially. And La Crosse at that time was the fourth whitest city in America per capita. Mm-hmm. And during the time that I was there, during the 12 years I was there, I recruited students from all walks of life, all nationalities, but the program got shuffled around when it became more inclusive of the other groups instead of staying with the original intent.
Let's fast forward to today. What do you think of the way we celebrate and or teach diversity now?
Well, I think that there's a split here going on. You have originally diversity was supposed to be about inclusion and taking care of those people that had been given a bad shake in life, to kind of even the playing field. But you know, when you're talking about now all this gender stuff and things of that sort, that takes away from the original intent. So I think today diversity has been watered down, and that has made a lot of people on both sides now are not happy with the way that we're going as a country as far as trying to be more inclusive. But I think that today, I'm not talking about everybody should be entitled to this and entitled to that. I'm talking about people just having a level playing field, people being feeling like they're wanted, especially on these college campuses. So many people don't know that when you are a minority on a college campus, you know, that brings a whole different layer to this.
Thanks for sharing your experiences, Rome. Rome, a loyal listener and fan of the show. Look, I can't live in his shoes. I don't know his experience, but I wanted him to tell it because I think it's important. And he used a word that I think is right, co-opt. Good intentions co-opted by maybe not good intentions. And I talk to enough people every day, and I'm just going to put it this way, of every persuasion, let's make it easy, right? All kinds of people. And there, even among people of color, there's differences of opinion on this. So let's not assume this is a white majority versus everyone problem. Are there white racists? You bet there are. And that's a problem that we have to face head on. Because it shouldn't be a problem, given that it's 2023, but it is. So let's be honest about it. The argument here to me is, and I've said this with Eric earlier, and I said it a couple times earlier in this hour, the way that diversity has to work is we have to live it. Not necessarily focus on the teaching. I'm not saying that's irrelevant, and there's a role to be played there as part of curriculum that's inclusive of a lot of other pieces of the story. Not casting blame, but looking forward. Not complaining, but promising that the future in this country, which is a tremendous country with a lot of potential, even now, given the nature of how we do business politically or economically or just culturally, huge potential. It's why people want to come here. Let's do it the right way. Live diversity. And I just can't get behind labeling legislation that accomplishes so much. And I still don't think people understand how big this shared revenue piece was. Winners and losers. Some people happy, some people sad on both sides. That's the definition of good legislation, my opinion. Take a break here. We'll wrap up the 9 o'clock hour. Lots more to get to. Join us in the conversation, 855-616-1620 on WTMJ. I said earlier we're going to give away some Summerfest tickets today, and I'm going to use a keyword. It's not a keyword you have to text. I just need you to know what it is. I said it once earlier. I'm going to say it again. The keyword to win the Summerfest tickets sometime in the 10 o'clock hour, I'm not telling you when that is either, is guitar. Guitar. All you're going to have to do is say it. You don't have to spell it. If you want to spell it, it's G-U-I-T-A-R. But that's the keyword. So I've said it twice. When we open up the phone lines, not now, but later in the 10 o'clock hour, when I tell you to call on that giveaway, we're going to line up those phone calls, however the order they come in. If you know the keyword, I'm not going to say it before we give them away. I've already said it twice. You'll win the tickets. Now we'll just move down the line. A little twist on the show. And we'll do a different twist tomorrow. Haven't thought about what it is yet. I got this text from the 262. You said there are white racists, which I agree with, but there are racists of every color, race, and political affiliation. The only differential that should be recognized are good people and bad people. Well, I can't disagree with that. And racism, misogyny, you know, internal hatred of different faith groups. I'm somebody that knows that story very well because of my public sector work. They're all bad. And it's what we do and how we live that reality that I think changes the conversation. Like a lot of things in this country, expecting a class or coursework or an individual to change the story, I think is a pretty far-fetched way of looking at it, right? It may work for some. Just live the diversity. Have a staff at a school that reflects that. Have a student body that reflects that. Have a workforce that reflects that. Have elected officials that look like the population looks. Women, Hispanic, African-American, Asian, whatever group. That's how you get to this. And, you know, if I could put a positive spin on it, I think young people get it more than, let's say, anyone past Gen Z does. And that's probably a good thing. It's painful in the period of time it takes to understand this from a cultural level. Yeah, because time, it's going to take a while. Will we get there? I hope so. A couple quick ones. Jack, you raised my hackles when you said are there white racists? Absolutely. I didn't hear you finish by saying they're black. There's racists of every creed and color. That's not an argument we're going to have. I acknowledge it. But when you have a white majority population in this country, just the numbers would suggest there's more of those than the others. Make sense? Doesn't make any of them good. They're all bad. Bottom line is, diversity is important. How we get there is the sole question. And I'm not sure, to kind of come back to point one, that having a coursework or a class, sort of a forced approach, is necessarily the way to make that happen. All right. Lots of show left. Join us, 855-616-1620, as we go forward. We're going to get back into that Bud Light story because that's sort of on a similar track and a change. Anytime you have a 25-year change, that's a big deal. We'll get to that story and a whole bunch of others after the news, which is next on WTMJ.
Breaking down the biggest stories, talking about what really matters, and bringing you the biggest forum to let your voice be heard. Now, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, here's Steve Scafidi.
Indeed it is. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're having a great day. I'm in a great mood. I got golf later today. Weather's going to be improving. Sun will be coming out here in southeastern Wisconsin. Hope it's nice where you are. Thanks for taking the time to tune in. 855-616-1620 is the best way. The Old National Bank. Talking text line, best way to get a hold of the show. Also, email at steve.scafidi2fs1d at wtmd.com. That's the business side of things. And in this hour, if you're paying attention in the 9 o'clock hour, I gave you a keyword, not a keyword you have to text in. A keyword that is the key, literally, to winning a 4-pack of tickets to Summerfest. Not yet. Some point in the... I'll narrow it down for you. In the next half hour, we're going to give away those tickets, and you're going to need that keyword, so hopefully you were paying attention. And the podcast is not up yet, so you can't go cheat and go back and listen. And I'm not going to give hints about it either, although it is Summerfest related. Let's get to it. We were talking in the last hour about diversity, equity, inclusion, better known as DEI, some questions about funding, certainly a talking point for Republicans, certainly a talking point for Democrats in response to what Republicans say and do about DEI initiatives. And because it's so important to baseline and continue conversations throughout the show and understand where I'm at and where hopefully where you're at, support diversity, equity, inclusion, wherever you can do that. My only difference with some people is I think living that story in your schools, in your workplaces, in your life, in your neighborhoods is how you get to it. Not necessarily, and maybe jamming it down our throats is too harsh, too tough. I'm not sure that that's creating an environment where we are accepting and understanding why those things are important. And it's creating, as I said with Eric earlier, creating tension where there doesn't need to be any. Which brings me to my next story. I'm going to read the headline first, then we're going to kind of we'll break it down. Now, whenever something changes, or hasn't changed, I should say, probably more appropriately, for 25 years, which is the case with the popularity of Bud Lights, it's a big deal. And for the first time, 4 weeks ending June 3rd, which by my calculation is roughly 12 days ago, Modelo has replaced Bud Light as the number one selling U.S. beer. Now, I'm kind of shocked it was Modelo. I didn't know that. I actually was going to do a bit. I was going to bring a Modelo in and crack it and drink it, but I thought better of it. If my bosses are listening, I'm not drinking Modelo, but I understand it's a pretty good tasting beer, and there's variations, just like other brands of the initial brand or the core brand. And I think it raises an interesting point. Now, I've done half-hour segments. I think I did an hour on this story when it first broke. The challenge for Anheuser-Busch, and this is a perfect next segment after what we just talked about. The forcing of a idea or an initiative versus letting it play out. What am I talking about? Anheuser-Busch, Bud Light, number one selling beer for 25 years, basically, 20 plus years. Hired a brand manager that wanted to change things. Didn't like the, for lack of a better term, this is my words, not theirs, good old boy image of Bud Light. Now, I know a lot of Bud Light drinkers, a lot of them aren't good old boys, but, you know, whatever. So they brought in an influencer, transgender influencer, who, for lack of a better term, again, insulted the core drinkers of Bud Light. And there's that forced piece. Is that the best way to go about it? Well, if you're selling Bud Light and you're in the business of selling beer, probably not. Because you lost a title that you held for a long time to a Mexican company, Modelo. This is a big deal for a number of reasons. One is they've lost their dominance in the market. And losing that dominance means you lose sales, which affects not only the seller, but the buyer, which in the case of beer is bars, restaurants, retail establishments, grocery stores, liquor stores. And I've talked to people that deliver beer, and they're already feeling that. Now, you could argue that one replaces the other. Maybe. And perhaps there'll be a shift to Modelo. Hispanic populations in this area and other places are one of the fastest growing segments of our population. So perhaps. So we shouldn't be surprised by that. But it does illustrate the point I was making earlier. You can push and force things, but if you create tension based on that forcing or pushing or nudge, do you accomplish the goals you're trying to achieve? And my answer is no. We certainly are going to talk about it. We're talk radio. These are interesting stories. But did you gain some awareness of the issues related to gender identification, how we get along, how we relate to each other, understanding each other, understanding each other's differences? I would argue no. You've created a conflict point where now that's what we're talking about. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. Anytime you see a shift like this, a major brand, Bud Light in this case, all over the impact of a transgender influencer named Dylan Mulvaney, once that happened, Bud Light sales dropped. That's April is when that happened. Boycotts. Now, I was intrigued by the story about Garth Brooks, who basically said he's still going to celebrate Bud Light. He's still going to sell it. That's the right answer. If I drank Bud Light, I'd still drink it. It's not a thing for me. I'm not a big fan of boycotts to begin with. If I like something, I'm going to consume it or buy it. Just my reality. Just like that. What do you think they would have done, Brandon, if I would have brought in a Modelo and cracked it just to see what it tasted like?
This morning?
Yeah.
I don't think they would have done anything. There's fridges stocked of beer upstairs.
Who's drinking all that beer?
Did you notice that,
though? Yeah, I did notice that. Who's drinking all that? Is that the afternoon shows?
It's got to be. But I was here yesterday in the afternoon. They weren't drinking, so maybe it was me.
I don't know. We're going to get to the bottom of that one. If my bosses are listening, just send me an email. Steve.Scafidi@WTMJ. You should have known my email by now. I've been here 6+ years. Could I have had the Modelo on the air and drank it to kind of launch this piece? I think so. 855-616-1620. What do you think? I say this again. It's the wrong way to do these things. Forcing something. Like if you have a hole in a piece of wood and you have a doll and the doll is too big, jamming it into that hole in some cases might work, but it's probably going to break and not give you the intended result, which is to make that doll anchor that piece of wood. You know what I'm saying? So there's a woodworking example I just created out of the top of my head. We'll take a break. You're, of course, listening to. And don't forget, coming up pretty soon, giveaway, Summerfest tickets. Hope you're listening 9 o'clock hour because that key word is going to be important. We'll hear what you have to say after this in WTMJ. Just a couple old boys, a little time well wasted. That's a good pick there. Trying to figure out life. WTMJ, I am Steve, of course, on this Thursday morning. Texas says, drink beer on the air. Are you crazy? You listen to the afternoon show? They're sipping cocktails all the time. It's like happy hour in that afternoon zoo program. All right. From the 414, Bud Light sales have been dropping for years, and Modelo has seen 5 to 7% sales growth for 15 years. You know what? When you lose a title after a long time, that's significant. Don't try to downplay it. That's not the point. The point is forcing. I probably could have used square peg in a round hole. That would have been a better example. But, you know, I was just freewheeling there right before the break. Let's see. Well, 262, I agree with you. Forcing it in our faces is the wrong way. I honestly don't think there's a bigger problem with people pushing back against transgender as everyone is leading us to believe. People are just sick and tired of it getting shoved in their faces. There's probably some truth to that. But again, I don't want you to label. I don't want you to mistreat. I don't want you to go after people based on their differences. That's not what we're doing here. We're having a conversation, which frankly doesn't happen enough. It's the extreme conversations which get all the news. I'm trying to boil it down to a common sense, more logical approach. 262. Influencers are people who don't want to get real jobs and want to be the center of attention. They don't serve the rest of us any real purpose. I will agree with you. I don't get it. And I know these people make money doing this. I don't get it. I don't change my point of view. I don't change my buying habits based on what an influencer says about something. I just don't. From the 920, when the morals of a nation fall, the nation will soon fail as well. Our nation is becoming more accepting of abhorrent, sinful behavior. Careful with that. Don't judge lest you be judged, right? A little more tolerance, a little more understanding, a little more acceptance is probably a good thing. We got plenty of hate going on. Lots of distrust. Hell, there's people who want to have a revolution in what arguably is the best country on this planet. Steve, how many employees inside Budweiser said, don't push the DEI and were ignored before implementation? Would be interested to see the inside company emails. There's some of that that's out there in public. I have plenty. This is from the 262. I have plenty of friends that used to drink Bud Light. They all drink Miller products now. My father also runs a reunion. Vietnam reunion always stocks every type of beer. They refuse to buy any Bud Light products for their reunion. Again, if I drank Bud Light, which I don't, I'd still be drinking it. My brother-in-law loves Bud Light. He still drinks it. I was just on a trip with him. He not changed his behavior. He doesn't care. He likes the beer. Mike joins us from Illinois. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I am good on this Thursday. What says you on this?
Pardon me?
What says you on this one?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to say that both Modelo and Anheuser-Busch are both part of InBev.
Yes.
So the parent company is not losing anything, I guess.
No, the retailers and some of the establishments, the truck drivers, they are losing on the end of this battle.
Absolutely. I am 100% with you as far as being tolerant. I don't like to have anything, you know, pushed in my face. And I don't think that the commercial was like that. I don't want to call, like, what Garth Brooks said about, you know, the people that don't want to drink it. He was, you know, a little bit hard on them because everyone has the right to their opinion. I'm of the opinion that I do feel that the LGBT community has been marginalized. And I, you know, want to see them, you know, I don't think it's a choice. I think it is biological. So I am very tolerant of that. I'm not comfortable with it personally, but I'm not going to, you know, hate someone because of that.
Well, I think that's a different conversation. I'm advocating for them. I don't want to see anybody mistreated or judged in a way that's not appropriate because everyone has their own story. Everyone's unique in their own ways. And to judge people based on whatever criteria you're using, I think is wrong. A little acceptance, a little understanding goes a long way. But again, on this issue, how we approach these things matters. The style in which we teach, the style in which we deal with these things, I think is an appropriate way to understand the conflict. And right now, we've created a conflict, perhaps where one existed before, but we've ramped it up. And my question is simple. Is that a good thing?
Well, I think it was only a matter of time before you did see LGBTQ doing a beer commercial. You've seen them. I've seen them in other commercials, different products, of course. So I don't think it was that bad personally. Again, I don't think it's the same thing as pushing critical race theory on children. You know, beer drinkers are adults. And I'm not a Bud Light drinker either. I consider more a good old boy drink is Miller High Life. You know, that's the one I think of good old boys, but either way, I don't think it was that bad of a thing. I don't think it was pushed too hard. I think it was just a matter of time. And, I believe in tolerance, so I don't have a problem with it.
All right, we'll leave it there. Mike's calling from Illinois. We'll take a break here after the break. All right, start dialing 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talking text line. The time has arrived for our Summerfest ticket giveaway. Weeks away, next week, Summerfest, world's largest and, I'll add this, greatest music festival on the planet. Moments, concerts, food, beverages. All the fun things to do at Summerfest. But you got to know the keyword. Now, I said it twice in the 9 o'clock hour. And I'll do a variation on the theme tomorrow. I haven't decided what Friday's giveaway is going to look like. But I was so enthused with the, excited about the morning show giveaway on their tickets. They were playing music and you had to guess the lyrics. So I'm going to do the same thing, sort of. But mine was not related to the song, but it is the greatest music festival on the planet. But a keyword. So I'm going to go through these quickly. Maybe the first caller will get it. Maybe not. We'll see who's paying attention. Is it Roots? Is it, what do we got here? Roots? Root from Watertown?
R-U-T-H.
What is it?
R-U-T-H. Ruth.
Oh, Ruth. He transposed the letters. So, or I have dyslexia, either one. But Ruth, welcome to the show.
Okay.
So do you know what the keyword is to win our Summerfest tickets, Ruth?
Guitar!
Yes! You nailed the first caller. See, our callers are so much smarter and better than the morning show's callers, right? Because they got to go through like five or six people. Some of these people don't even know music. Ruth nails it on the first shot. Congratulations. Would you call yourself a loyal listener of the program?
Yes.
I love that, Ruth. What do you like about the program since I'm interviewing you on the air?
It keeps me company as I work during the day.
I love that. What do you do for a living?
Teach. So I don't have it on when I teach.
Right, right. Well, God bless you, Ruth. And I applaud you for getting it right out of the box. Laura was ready. Linda was ready. Look at all the women callers. Now, that's a demographic that we can certainly get excited about. And Summerfest loves women as they love men. Ruth, stay on the line. Producer Brandon will get all your important information. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a loyal listener. Thanks for knowing the keyword. We'll do some variation on that theme tomorrow's program. I was inspired by the morning show and their creative way of giving away the Summerfest tickets. So my hat off to Eric Bilstead, who's filling in for Vince Vachano, and I'm filling in for Eric Bilstead, sort of, in a weird way.
Just for the 8 o'clock hour.
Just for the 8 o'clock hour. I could join you earlier. I'm here at 6.
We're good.
Eric's going, I think we're pretty good there.
I'm not surprised. You are a very good coworker / colleague / teammate.
All right, one more time for the promo so we can record that. Thank you for that. All right, our news time is 10:30. You just heard his voice, his lovely voice, talented voice from our breaking news center, Eric Bilstead. Welcome back, 10 o'clock hour on WTMJ. I'm, of course, Steve, as, at least that's what the big voice guy says. Joining us, it's kind of a regular feature we like to do, President Mike Lovell, Marquette University.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Happy summer to you.
Yeah, happy summer to you, too.
And our special guest today, he always brings a special guest, Dr. Kent Belasco, Director of Marquette's Commercial Banking Program, Associate Professor of Finance. Welcome, sir.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
All this consternation, we've seen inflation, recession talk, interest rates rising, cost of everything going up. As somebody who has been a certified accountant, financial planner for decades, let's talk about some of that. How people are managing their finances versus when you first started in the field.
When I first started, you know, one of the things, I go back a number of years when IRAs first came on the market, and there was a lot of hype about that, and interest rates were actually very high, so people could put away money and become a millionaire, and that was the plan. Things changed since then, especially in the last 15 years, and one of the things that I think is a problem is people don't save enough money, and they don't understand enough about financial planning to really do that, and that's where you get into financial and economic literacy.
That begs the question. So whether it's teaching them those skills, is that a parental obligation? Should we be teaching our kids some responsibility with their banking accounts, their checking accounts, whatever, or an allowance? Where does the fault lie there?
I think it's a little bit of both. We don't talk about this much in the grade schools or the high schools. And by the time they get to college, sure, they're learning finance and they're learning corporate type levels of finance, but they're not getting into personal financial planning. So they don't understand necessarily that, you know, when you get a paycheck, you're not going to get it all. Tax is going to be taken out. So you have to plan cash flow and you have to think that way. Most people don't. And therein lies the problem. The other side is the economy. We've gone through 15 years of upheaval and a lot of people still don't understand what the Fed does and why these things are happening. And what I read in the paper is a lot of people are not prepared for retirement.
You talked about the inability of people to save. Part of it's inflation. Part of it's a different way of thinking about their finances. The other, you know, worrisome sign is that credit card debt has spiked to a record $1 trillion, according to a recent Federal Reserve report. Where is that trend going?
Unfortunately, it's going to continue to go up. It's up about 18% right now. And the problem is inflation is a lot to do with it because during COVID, people were putting away a lot of money. They were saving money. They had a lot of cash, and things were actually pretty good. But now, as we had continued inflation, they were spending all that money, and they're starting to deplete their deposits. And that's what's been happening. So the banks are actually seeing deposits go down. So they're doing that to pay mortgages, car payments, living expenses. So therein lies the problem. Something has to give. So where do they get the additional funds? Credit cards.
Yeah, and some of the new rates, 24%, 28%. Essentially, people, it seems like to me, someone who's not a financial planner, they're using that as an extra income source when, in fact, it's just more debt.
Absolutely. It is debt. It's a loan. It's a revolving credit. And the reason that the rates are so high is because most people don't know that when the Fed raises rates, We all know that commercial loans or business loan rates go up almost immediately. So do credit cards. These are adjustable rates. Fed's been raising rates for the past year, year and a half now. So credit cards are going to go up. The other thing, too, credit cards are unsecured. There's no collateral. So banks take significant risk in that. And especially in a bad economy, they're going to end up writing off a fair amount of that. So they charge a default premium.
Yeah, I was going to ask, should we see an expected rise in defaults as well?
Oh, yeah. Banks are already reserving for that.
And for President Lovell, you always bring great guests. First of all, thanks for that every month. You share great advice. Your guests always have wisdom that we don't have. You or I, and you're a president of a university, for Pete's sake. So why is it important for your faculty, for them to get out and share the wisdom, share the knowledge outside of the university?
You know, it's really important for us to think about the type of faculty that we have at the university. And one of the things that we really have focused on is bringing in faculty that have real-world practical experience. And Dr. Belasco is a perfect example. You know, we decided that we wanted to move into a banking program. We were the second in the country to do so. Only us in Texas A&M, had this. And Dr. Belasco had all the practical experience of working in the banking industry and as a financial planner to help us develop the curriculum and deliver to our students so that they were getting experience the other students across the country were getting. Every student in our banking program has a job offer before graduation. And I will give my own daughter as an example. My daughter graduated from the banking program last year, and she decided that she either wanted to live in New York City or Chicago. And in October, this is October, for a May graduate, she had two job offers in New York and four in Chicago 7 months before she graduated. And it's because of the practical experience that she learned in this banking program that Dr. Belasco brought us.
Dr. Belasco mentioned financial literacy. You mentioned the fact that just two universities offer this. I'll ask you both. I'll start with you, President Lovell. Why is that?
Well, I think, you know, Kent has more detailed answer than that. But believe it or not, it has to do with the density of financial institutions in this part of the country. And, you know, as Ken will say, it's us in Texas, maybe the two most dense in terms of the banking industry, to have the headquarters here. And he may be able to answer that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's 4,500 banks in the country. In the Midwest, where it's over 21% just concentrated in the Midwest. Actually, between Illinois and Wisconsin, there's 550 banks. So this is a great area for banks. Now, when you go around the country, even California is in the, I think, 120. New York.
So is it just because we like different kinds of banks, or what is that?
Illinois is the second largest in the country in terms of banks. And the reason for that is because they were a unit bank state for years, meaning they couldn't branch. So every bank had to, so anytime they opened a bank, it was done in Illinois, but they couldn't branch. So that was the reason. And unfortunately, too, during the financial crisis, that's why Illinois had some of the most failures, because we had a lot of banks.
Our guests are President Mike Lovell, Marquette University, and Dr. Kent Belasco, Director of Marquette's Commercial Banking Program, Associate Professor of Finance. So I was told that during your first commercial banking class, you used this quote from Jason Trennert, the CEO of Stratagas Securities. Modern banking has been the single greatest contributor to human progress. Why do you think that?
You know, I believe this. And once I saw that quote, I've kept it forefront in my program ever since then. And the main reason for that is because this is not how people think about banking. Most people think banks are out to just make money and to charge high rates. That's not the case. Banks are corporations, so they're accountable to their shareholders. But what they do is they create value. And they create value by making loans. And what loans are is not just cash. These are loans to businesses, which creates capital. And capital can grow. So it's like planting a seed. And that's when you get a startup. What they'll do is they'll create jobs. They'll create opportunity. People will start working. They'll pay more. The community will turn around, and so will the economy.
Do you think financial institutions have learned from the collapse of the late 2000s? Have they learned those lessons? Could we see a repeat of that?
I don't believe you'd see it at that magnitude, mainly because of the stress testing and the regulations that we have today. We have some pretty significant capital requirements, and that's the real problem behind that. And now with Silicon Valley recently, Michael Barr from the Federal Reserve is talking about raising capital rates again for banks, probably over $100 billion. So it's going to go up.
Do they do a good job of regulating banks in this country? Do we do a good job?
In general, I would say yes from a safety and soundness standpoint. My biggest challenge with that is when I look at Silicon Valley, I think there were some fundamental things in there that were missed not only by the bank, but I don't know that the regulators provided the urgency on that. Can you give me a specific on that or no? Well, there was two things. One was the composition of deposits. So they were kind of putting all their eggs in one basket. And when you had a run on a bank like that, there's no coming back. The other side of it is banks invest in treasury securities. And that's what they did. When they needed liquidity, they had to go into their held-to-maturity securities, which they were planning to keep for a long time, and they were underwater. So they sold them at a loss. And that's going to affect their capital. There was no way to save them after that.
President Lovell, there's been this push in Marquette's business school to offer experiential learning. You have the O'Brien Hall, another new addition to the business program. Why are those hand-on experiences so important for your students at Marquette?
And I would go beyond just the business school. I would say at every part of the university, as we've talked, we try to give our students experiential learning. And so the first, O'Brien Hall offers the ability for us to give experiential learning in the classroom by the way the things are set up, the technology that's been used, the way we bring Ken is always bringing in people from the field in to talk to his students about issues. What is also really important, and again, this is a great example of that, is our students are getting internships in their field of study before they graduate. You know, my daughter Anna already mentioned, she had three internships before she graduated, including at First Bank her last year, which gave her great, first of all, she was able to hit the ground running when she got into the field, but she also had insights on what she wanted to do in her career moving forward. And I think the more we can provide those students with those experiential, both in the classroom and outside the classroom, the more successful they're going to be.
Does that extend to the entire university? All of the programs, all the schools will all have sort of that connection to real life, real time?
Yeah, and if you have an arts and sciences student, we have an office that is solely focused on helping them get internships before they graduate.
All right, I always like to end with something fun. And it's summer, and I love summer. I'm a gardener. I grow things, and I love the warm weather. So let's start with Dr. Kent Belasco. What are you most looking forward to this summer in Milwaukee?
In Milwaukee is Summerfest. So that's going to be starting pretty quick. And actually, I'm meeting with one of the banks on my advisory board, BMO Harris. And so we're going to meet with them.
I was going to ask you, I forgot to ask you this question. The move to cashless.
Yeah.
Does that make it easier for people to get in these financial straits? I think it does.
Cashless, first of all, I don't know that it will ever totally happen. I think you're always going to have cash. But there's been movements, you know, that kind of started with COVID where you put it all on a card. So everything is on a card or it's on your mobile phone these days. The downside with that is it's still cash. So if you put it on your phone, it's going to be tied to a checking account. If you buy a card, you have to have the cash. Now, the people that it might help are the underbanked and unbanked people in the country. And that's a possibility because they don't necessarily have the wherewithal and the electronics to do this. And so a cashless society might be better in some regards.
That's going to be an interesting conversation as we go forward because so many places now going to cashless. All right, President Lovell, you can't say Summerfest.
No.
What's your summer thing?
No, I mean, I like going to the festivals. You know, as you know, Milwaukee, you know, crams a whole years worth of festivals in the 3 months. Italian Fest is probably my favorite one to go to. And so, but yeah, I'm a huge
believer. Are you saying that because I'm the host?
No. The food, the entertainment's really great.
Our pleasure, both of you, Dr. Kent Belasco, Director of Marquette's Commercial Banking Program and Associate Professor of Finance on all things finance and banking. And, of course, President Mike Lovell. Have a fantastic summer to both of you. You've been listening, of course, to WTMJ.
Breaking down the biggest stories, talking about what really matters, and bringing you the biggest forum to let your voice be heard. Now, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, here's Steve Scafidi.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Welcome to 11 o'clock hour on this Thursday edition. Thanks for tuning. Thanks for finding the show. Thanks for hanging around. We have a lot of people that listen to the whole show. I love that. Every show is different. I tell people that every show is constructed separately. It's not the same thing every day. Some days we take a lot of calls. Some days we take very few calls. Some days it's topic-driven. Some days it's politics, culture, entertainments, whatever it is. Now, a rare opportunity. So our second contestant for That's What Steve Said just dropped out for whatever reason. Could have been on a car phone. Michelle, you're all good, so don't hang up. We need another caller for That's What Steve Said, 855-616-1620. So I'll be patient. I will wait. Otherwise, I'll just play with Michelle, which will be just fine, and then that guarantees. I'm sure Michelle would be happy about that. But as we wait, so today's questions, now I've said this before. No one's ever got all five rights. Nobody. 855-616-1620. You want to be the second player on this Thursday edition. No one's ever got all five rights. Now, I generally think about three of them are fairly easy. Then there's a slightly tougher one, and there's always usually a pretty hard one. Look at the phone lines light up. I love you guys. Someone's going to get a chance to play. And the Mineshaft will be your host if you win. $30 gift card, Hartford location. They also have a great location in Oshkosh. Couple things. Thursday, which is why we do it on Thursday. Buy one pizza, second pizza free. Buy 10 pizzas, 10 pizzas free. And if you heard John McHurt talk about it, you buy 100, 100 free. I wonder if it's ever happened. I'm going to ask the folks at Mineshaft about that. That's the prize for the winner. All right, we're all set. Mike has queued up. Let's meet our contestants. Well, let's play our big lead up first. Got to do that, right? Got to. There it is.
It's time to talk about the topics that were big.
That's what she said. Ha, I don't get it.
It's time to talk about the topics that were hard.
That's what she said. Or he said.
It's time to talk about the topics that had us saying...
That's what she said.
It's time for...
That's what she said.
No, it's time for That's What Steve Said.
Let me just say it. To lighten the tension when things sort of get hard.
Thank you, Steve Carell. All right, That's What Steve Said. Five questions that could conceivably change your life if winning a gift card can do that for you. Let's meet our contestants. First up, Michelle. Very patient, Michelle. Called early. And often, probably. Michelle from Waukesha, welcome.
Hello.
Tell us about Michelle from Waukesha in 30 seconds or less. What do we need to know?
I don't know, really, much. I'm from Waukesha, born and raised there my whole life. I work there. I'm a CAD technician, which I'm working right now.
Computer automated design, if my memory serves me correctly, correct?
Correct.
All right.
Yes.
Well, Michelle, we're excited you're with us. Let's meet your opponent on That's What Steve Said Today. Mike from Menominee Falls. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Steve. How are you doing today?
Good. I am good. Let's find out about you. What's your story, Mike?
Well, I'm a father of five, which keeps me plenty busy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm off for a couple of days. We're doing a big rummage sale. So in the middle of doing all of that, I heard you needed another contestant, so I jumped on the phone.
Wow, rummage sale. My wife hates rummage sales. Do you like rummage sales? And what you're doing once?
She hates going to them.
Yeah, she loves going to them, but she hates having them. All right, contestants Michelle and Mike, battle of the M's today. Michelle, you're going to be first up. There's five questions, and that's what Steve said. I'm going to give you three possible answers for each. Only one is correct. Michelle, you'll be first. And then Mike can give us his thoughts. Whoever has the most right answers at the end wins. If we have a tie, our illustrious producer, Brandon, today will find a tiebreaker question that will decide once and for all who is the winner of the $30 Mineshaft gift card. Are both of you ready to go? Michelle and Mike, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Question number one for Michelle first. I talk a lot about elected officials and their lack of real work. Said living in the world of press releases, press conferences, just basically jawing, not doing. What was my smart take on how to judge the people we put in the office? Was it A, do a simple sniff test. If their primary work product is a tax on the other side or the negatives associated with that, why are we putting this person in office? That's A. B, I'm not sure any of these people really understand what their core job duties actually are. Or C, an elected official who actually does the people's work is rarer than a bipartisan bill on border policy. What's the right answer, Michelle?
C.
Michelle says C. Mike, what do you say?
I think I'm going to go with C as well.
Mm. Copycat didn't do you any good on this one. Let's hear what I said. Do a simple sniff test. Look at what they produce. Look at what they say. Whether that's social media, whether it's on broadcast cable. If their primary work product is attacks on the other side of the political aisle or the negatives associated with whatever story they're talking about, you should ask yourself long and hard, why are we putting this person in office? Especially if you voted for that person. Why are you there? What are you doing? All right, very, very animated response from me. You both got it wrong, so work to do. Mike, you are first up. Question number two. Crime is always one of the hot-button topics that are the fodder of many a radio show, fodder being F-O-D-D-E-R. What did I say this week was one of the best ways to impact criminal activity short-term? Listen carefully. Three possible answers. Only one is correct. A, you want to impact crime in any community? Get all the local leaders on the same page with law enforcement. It's the magic elixir to combat crime. B, the last group you want to have the final say in combating crime is elected officials. Most of them don't even understand the issue they're trying to fix. Or C, when you add in the mix of extra security, a lot of things magically go away, but it requires an investment. What is the right answer, Mike?
I'll go with A.
Mike takes A. Michelle?
I'm going to say C.
Ooh, Michelle. Listen. So on its face, this is what I've been talking about. All of these problems that we are facing when it comes to security, crime, have to do with the monitoring of that activity, monitoring of public areas, monitoring of parking lots, supervision in schools, lack of supervision, I should say. When you add in the mix of extra security, magically, a lot of these things diminish or go away. But it requires an investment. There you go, Michelle. You're off to an early lead. One up on Mike. Question number three. Michelle, you're up first. The shared revenue bill passed the Wisconsin Assembly in the Senate late last night, sending some much-needed revenue help to local communities. What did I say about some of the criticisms of the bill? A, instead of picking this apart and demonizing the other side, which is shallow, unintellectual, and lazy, this is a big win for the states. B, what do I think about the opponents of the bill? They couldn't balance their own checking account, let alone a city budget. C, sometimes you just got to take the win. Failure to understand that basic political fact to me means you shouldn't be in politics. Michelle, what's the right answer, A, B, or C?
I'm going to go with A.
Michelle takes A. Mike, what say you?
I'll take C.
All right. Here we go. What did I say? Instead of picking this apart and trying to demonize, which is frankly boring, Republicans as evil or Democrats as evil or whatever passes for talk radio nowadays, is shallow, unintellectual, and lazy. And I realize I just hurt a lot of feelings. Don't care. This is a win for the state. This is a win for local governments who've been asking for this for about 11 years. All right, Michelle, two up on Mike. You got some heavy lifting to do. You are up first. Question number four, Mike. I've talked about the challenge of keeping our best and brightest young people in the state. Talked about this yesterday. After they graduate from high school. What did I say about the recent numbers out of UW-Madison, which suggest less than half of their students are from the Badger State? A, maybe we focus on our own kids, our own young adults, and maybe making that a priority on who gets in and who doesn't. B, it's a state school. It should be filled with a majority of students who are from Wisconsin. Why is that so hard? C, where one grew up doesn't really have anything to do with where they go to college, but when tax dollars are involved, that should be part of the equation. Mike, you going to get on the board on this one?
I'm going to give it a shot with A.
All right, Mike takes A. Michelle, what's your choice?
C.
Ooh, Mike back in the game. Let's hear it. We have to think about all the impacts and all these various decisions that are made, conscious decisions, in this case by the University of Wisconsin-Madison, on something as simple as who gets in and who doesn't. Maybe, just maybe, focusing on our own kids, our own young adults, and making that a priority in who gets in and who doesn't. Oh, Michelle, you let Mike back in. So all important fifth and final question. Michelle, you're first up. You have a 2-1 lead. You get it wrong, Mike gets it right. We got a tiebreaker, but let's see what Michelle's going to do on this. Three possible answers, only one is correct. A recent survey, question number five, a recent survey suggested Americans feared running out of money more than they feared death. What did I say about this? A, they probably didn't ask many people over the age of 55. B, I don't get it. Yes, life can be challenging. There are a lot of factors at play, but death versus running out of money, I don't know. C, nothing says I haven't lived long enough to understand what's important and what isn't than this survey. What is the right answer, Michelle, A, B, or C?
boy. B.
Shell takes B. Mike, what's your choice?
Well, I got to pick one of the other ones. I'll go with C.
All right. I think Michelle's going to be very happy. Let's hear what I said. I don't get it. Look, yes, life can be challenging. We certainly have had inflation to deal with. We've seen the workplace change significantly. There's a lot of factors that are moving around. Inflation, certainly a key factor that I'm talking about. But death versus running out of money, I don't know. All right, Mike, you put up a valiant effort, but you got to get back to the rummage sale.
All right, congratulations. Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Thanks very much. Michelle, congrats. You are our winner of That's What Steve Said. You came in kind of quiet, but you roared like a lion when you got 3 out of 5 answers correct. Are you happy? Are you pleased you're going to win a $30 Mind Chef gift card?
Yes, I am. I've never been there.
All right. Well, you will enjoy it. The beautiful downtown Hartford location. $30 gift card. Thanks to Michelle. Stay on the line. Producer Brandon will get all your important information. That's another edition of That's What Steve Said. Thanks to our contestants on That's What Steve Said. I did every Thursday. Thanks to the Mind Chef Restaurant. Awesome deal, especially on Thursday. Buy one pizza, get one free. And that means 1 for 1, 2 for 2, 10 for 10. And as McCure likes to throw out every once in a while, 100. Who knows? I got to ask him. I'm like, what was the most? Because, I mean, if you're buying 50 pizzas for a party, that's 50 more pizzas. So then it becomes a question. So do you order 25 because you know you're getting another 25? See, that's the negotiation. That's the way I think about things.
And then how soon do you have to place that order? You can't just be like, hey, in 2 hours, I need 50.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big restaurant, but I mean, like,
it is. It's a lot of work. The pizza's fantastic. I've had it, but I'm curious when you got to put that order in.
Yeah. So every Thursday, you've got a chance to win a $30 gift card from Mind Chef. So thanks to the folks out there. It's a great restaurant. We've talked about it. Great partners here at WTMJ. While I'm talking to you here, I want you to go to, if you're on the Twitter, and now I know not a lot of you are. Some of you are. I think it's my favorite social media platform. I'm on Twitter. I'm sort of on Facebook, both with the WTMJ page and my own page. And I enjoy Twitter more than Facebook, but even that's trying at times. And we can have that conversation if you want to. But if you're not on social media and you want to just give me your thoughts, you can do that at the old National Bank Talk and Text Line, 855-616-1620. And I kind of went in the direction of breaking news or news last night, the legislature wrapping up work on the next state budget, but they passed the shared revenue bill and some other legislation yesterday. Now we're waiting for the governor to sign those bills. Would you be disappointed if a tax surplus refund or tax credit is not part of the budget? And I've spent a little bit of time today talking about, you know, the differences. $7 billion surplus, a lot of money. There seems to be an understanding that we'll use it to cut, we'll maintain that and then build in some tax cuts, always a good thing. Everybody wants to pay lower taxes. Although on my show poll, it sits at about 18% right now. No, just lower taxes, one of my choices, 18%. Hell yes, it's our money, 43%. Or use the money for other needs, 36%. And I've given you some of the cautionary tales about why that's not necessarily the best idea. But I want to do this, especially for the folks who aren't on Twitter or aren't on social media, 855-616-1620. What would you like to see the state, legislators, governor do with that surplus? Be specific. I want to give the best ideas after we go to break. Just be real specific. Maybe your idea is build a prison. Maybe your idea is fix the roads, local and otherwise. Renovate a portion of the local freeway, wherever you're at, Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay. Build a bridge. Maybe it's new programs, which, again, cautionary tale, can be not budget friendly down the road. New programs on mental health and the like. So be real specific. 855-616-1620. What is your idea on how we use these funds? We'll spend a little bit of time talking about it after this on WTMJ. So before the break, I asked the question, where do you want to see that money go? John says, put that money in interest or a dividend-earning state emergency fund. We've got an emergency fund. It's pretty healthy as well. One of the things that's happened over the last, well, at least 5 years, is we've generated these surpluses. Now, you can say that that's fiscal responsibility. I'll give some of those folks, those legislators, that credit. And I will remind people that, you know, want to play the politics game that it has majorities on the Republican side, which governor has power, but the legislature has a lot of power and a lot of different voices, and they've been winning those arguments, and that's obviously something that plays into this. From the 262, use the funds to fix our roads, which we all use. Also, this is an investment in our state infrastructure that needs attention, but is not creating a new office or program that needs future funding. I'm tired of fixing my equipment. Yeah, I mean, it's inexcusable. And I know why it happens, because it's easy to, you know, kick the can down the road, as they say, right? Not fix the roads, not maintain our infrastructure, not fix a bridge or railings on a bridge or some of those barriers that are intended to keep people out of unsafe places when they're driving down the highways of our state. That's a good one. But again, it's a one-time, which for infrastructure, well, that is a one-time cost, because we already have funds built in that take care of the annual improvements. Not enough, but we have some. Jones says, fix the potholes in Milwaukee, beef up the power grid. For the 920, some of the surplus money should be spent on school safety upgrades for all the schools in the state. I echo that one. I said it in my, it was one of my questions about crime. But if we're talking about school safety, and I've said this in interviews for the last, well, since the shooting in 2012 in Oak Creek, short term, the best investment is in enhanced security, supervision, a gate, cameras, all those things, parking police or police looking vehicles in front of facilities. In the short term, that's the easiest way to impact this. Just like in a school, easiest way to impact discipline is have enforcers of discipline in the hallways, in the classrooms, that don't put up with nonsense. In the short term, that works. And I don't know why that's so hard, but here we are. A little bit later this half hour, I'm going to quickly talk about something that's kind of alarming from a sci-fi movie perspective. Here's the headline. And I wrote my own note. This should scare the heck out of you. Synthetic human embryos created in groundbreaking advance. Have they not seen the movies? Where that story goes? Where that leads to? Chaos ensues? Jurassic Park for humans? Crazy. All right. I ask you on the old National Bank talk and text line, 855-616-1620, how you would spend the surplus. This one from the 262, actually a couple good ideas. Invest some money in tearing down old decrepit buildings and start to rebuild some of the communities so it would be a positive for a future tax base. Here's why I love this idea. And I was in Boston speaking at something in probably like 5 or 6 years ago. And I was talking to a nonprofit group, and they were talking about an initiative to kind of improve the way of life, quality of life in areas that were run down. And it was either like block by block or something like that. And what it was a hyper-focus on a neighborhood. So let's take whatever, you know, pick a neighborhood in your community, large or small, urban, rural, whatever it is, whatever the worst block is. And that could be for a variety of reasons. Buildings that need help. Even like simple things like landscaping. Garbage pickup. To more complicated ones. Crime. Which could be influenced by cameras, fences, better security, or maybe even linking a block of a neighborhood to a company who says, you know what, I'm going to hire some of those folks. I need people. We're going to shuttle them to work. We're going to go pick them up. We'll take them to work. We're going to pay them, get them on the right track. And I wish I remember the name of the program. It was something like Block by Block. But think about that from the perspective of your community. And I gave you some examples of what that means, from the simple to the complex, right? Simple, pick up garbage, easy. One block, one day, one afternoon, pick up the garbage. Every piece of garbage, every spot that you see it, whether it's on a city road, whether it's on a right-of-way, in an area that's filled with brush, you clean the brush, take the garbage out. From that to investing to fix homes, simple fixes. Replacing a piece of siding that's missing. Fixing a fence. Adding a fence. Fixing a broken piece of concrete. Patching an alley that's got a big hole in it. That sort of initiative on a small scale can lead to some really big things. So maybe just maybe, in the case of Wisconsin, we create a program like that where communities using surplus funds, and we're not always going to have that, but when they're available, can get grants that say, all right, block by block, here's what we're going to do. Identify those areas. Don't favor big cities over small areas. We're going to fix that. We're going to work with the homeowners, work with the landlords. We're going to clean up the garbage until it looks like it should look. I love that idea. So thanks for saying that. You reminded me of that great program. I know I won't eat up all the $7 billion surplus, but maybe they can invest in some good speed bumps on Brady Street. You know, speed bumps are interesting. They haven't met. I was just at the Brewers game last week, and when you come out of the general parking, there's the speed bumps. And if you're not paying attention, they can surprise you, which they did me. That has some limited value, I guess. It does slow people down. Is that a $7 billion idea? I don't know. Prisons for all the car thieves, make them serve real time. Well, I made the point earlier. Build a prison? Question mark. How much would that cost? $2 billion? Whatever it costs. $1 billion? Problem is, you got to maintain those costs year after year. You have to find that money. Well, the 262, the garbage idea is great. I drive through Milwaukee all the time, and as soon as I hit the city limits, there's garbage all over. Boulevard, side of the streets, in the gutters. Remember when I was talking about this the other day? Everybody who's in love with the boulevard ideas now. Take the freeways down, add a boulevard. And then the landscaping, which looks fantastic day one. And maybe okay year one, year two. And then start to collect all the garbage. I've driven on the streets of Milwaukee, all over the city. It's often, I know they pick up the garbage on the freeway. Do this simple test. Get off the freeway. On the road adjacent to the freeway. And look how much garbage. This is generations of garbage. I don't know why, but that garbage never gets picked up. If you're one of those groups that wants to do something positive, organize a cleanup on that. The freeway gets picked up. I see the bags. It always looks horrendous at the end of the winter, and then it's picked up and looks okay from then on. But get off the freeway. Focus on a neighborhood, street by street, block by block. You might have some improvement. Dave joins us from Caledonia. Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Nice to talk to you again. Hey, you know, this is a pretty unique idea, and I would like to see our communities run like the private sector. And I want to talk about giving incentives out there. I mean, you professional sports is incentives. I have no problem if we give incentives to our local governments to bring down, for example, the crime rate in Milwaukee. You got people getting cars stolen, reckless driving, all the stuff you see going on. Yeah, we're just talking about, we got this waste of money with the Office of Violence Prevention, which is doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Why don't we say, hey, if you could bring your crime rate down X percent in a year, we'll give them a blank check for 20 minutes that they can use on the streetcar, whatever they want to use it on. But you first got to help bring the crime rate down, which means, number one, you got to get a district attorney that's actually going to enforce the laws and actually prosecute people, because that's how you get rid of the crime. Because right now we put these people on bail, and 90% of the time, these people are committing more crimes.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I don't want to see Milwaukee become another San Francisco.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Dave. Didn't mean to cut you off there. But yeah, I like the idea. Incenting improvements. Why shouldn't communities, why shouldn't the state say to them, okay, we've identified a problem, whatever it is. Maybe it's crime, maybe it's something else. Traffic, reckless driving. Just your city looks like, you know what? Clean it up, and we'll incent that with a reward of some sort. Now, there's a group of people that want to treat everybody the same, and they don't like incentives, just like they don't like, for example, in a workplace where one person makes more than the other person. I would argue it's based on performance, because I worked in the private sector, but they don't like that. They want everyone that does the same job to make the same. I think that's silly. I don't buy into it. Doesn't mean I favor inequality. If a man and women are doing the same job at the same level of performance, they certainly should make the same job. And also tenure matters too. But we should, of course, incent things, because that gets us a better end result. 414, no one knows when a crime will happen. I'm not sure where you're going with that. No, we're not, you know, fortune tellers, or we don't see the future. But my point on all of that is there are things you can do short term to reduce the likelihood. For example, what does everybody have on their front door? They have a lock. There was a time, maybe 100 years ago, when that wasn't the case. There was people that didn't have locks on their doors, or very simple locks. Now we have deadbolts. Now we have cameras and Ring camera systems and motion detector lights, all these things. Simple things sometimes can work. And we tend to sometimes ignore the simple things to focus on the more expensive, bigger projects when sometimes the little things actually work. One more before the break. Reduce property taxes for senior citizens and lock them in for the rest of the senior's life, specifically for those unable to go back to work. I've mentioned this before on the show. We need to do something in this area to benefit those folks who are on fixed incomes, many of whom, what is it, one in five in Americans subsist solely on Social Security funding, their check, their deposit. We should do something to maintain their costs because, as we know, inflation, recession, just the increased value of homes has made it really difficult for seniors in our communities. Something to think about. Thanks for the great ideas. After the break, something that should scare the heck out of you. Have they not seen the movies? That's next on WTMJ. To Mr. Robot called Domo. Domo. Thank you, Styx. Domo, what he got, to STYX. So here's the headline. Synthetic human embryos created in groundbreaking advance. And here's the subhead. Breakthrough could aid research into genetic disorders, but raise serious ethical and legal issues. You think? So creating something that is life, really, synthetic or otherwise, not in the traditional method of eggs or sperm, sidestepping those needs for that, by the way. Model embryos is what they're called. They resemble the earliest stages of human development, what would happen naturally. And they say, the developers, that this is for research on genetic disorders, the biological cause of miscarriages. Noble causes, sure. But the work obviously raises ethical, legal issues and questions as the, whenever we're talking about a lab, Wuhan or otherwise, and the chaos theory, like something bad is always going to happen given the uncertainty of nature and accidents and chaos. And have they not seen all the sci-fi movies where this always goes wrong? Something gets out, something is not done, something is created that they don't expect. So there's those ethical and legal questions. Now, they don't have a beating heart or the beginnings of a brain, but they have cells that go on, what would go on to create a placenta, the yolk sac, the embryo of life. It's pretty fascinating stuff. California Institute of Technology, University of Cambridge, said this: we can create human embryo-like models by the reprogramming of embryonic stem cells. Now, there are no current plans to use any clinical application. It's illegal to plant them into a patient's womb. Not clear whether these synthetic embryos could actually be, for lack of a better term, a future person. Probably not likely at this moment. But the idea here is to understand, you know how an airplane has a black box? Well, understanding the black box of the creation of a human being, life itself. Currently, laws say you can only cultivate these embryos for 14 days. I just have a problem with it. Not anti-research, none of that. I just think you have to be really careful with this stuff. And as much as we'd like to think that's not the case, there's a lot of people that have bad intents. And I'm a huge advocate of research and the importance of finding and figuring things out to make better decisions for all of us. And they've done things like this before. They've used stem cells from mice and created like embryo-like structures that like duplicated the intestinal tract for humans, beginnings of a brain, a beating heart. That's already been happening. I don't think most of us have had any clue that some of this is actually going on. That's why I like to bring these stories up. It's a fascinating debate about the power of science, the ability to create things that have never been created from nothing, essentially, before. There's a natural process of nature, and then there's this synthetic process, which could have some real-life applications, like someone has a bad liver, create a artificial liver, even using some of their own cells, and here we have a new one, put it in, you're good. Love that idea. But the application is much different than figuring out what all goes into that beginning process and whether synthetic is the right way to go. Now, we already use a lot of synthetic things in science, including, my understanding, synthetic skin now for fire victims and things like that. Science is amazing to a point. At some point, it just becomes scary. We'll see what Jeff Wagner's going to talk about after this on WTMJ. Closing time. Thanks for all your great help on the show today. Thanks for tuning in, however you did that. Podcast up and running. We have the Marquette interview with Mike Lovell and Dr. Kent Belasco on finance, personal finance, debts, which is really important. Talked a little bit about the cashless direction this country seems to be going in and why that's got some good and bad things about it. Tomorrow's program, 9 o'clock hour, Bill McCaution, Republican strategist, Joe Zepecki, Democratic strategist. Obviously, the shared revenue package. Senate and Assembly passed that yesterday, waiting for the governor's signature. Lots to talk about with that. Certainly the president, former and current. Lots of news there as well. So we'll dig deep on that 9 o'clock hour and all our regular Friday features. Virtual baseball, if Steve ruled the world, and others, and your last chance to win Summerfest tickets. We had fun with that today. We'll come up with another fun way to give those away sometime probably in the 10 o'clock hour tomorrow. Jeff Wagner is ready after you were off yesterday, right?
No, well, I didn't get on the air, but I had to hang out here.
I did see you. That's right, I did
well,
see you.
Right,
in the building.
Because, I mean, look, as a baseball fan, I love the new rules that speed the games along. But, you know, it used to be if you had an afternoon game first pitch at 12:10, by the time you get the game done and you get the post-game show and stuff, no way. Not anymore.
Yeah, so, you can't take that for granted.
So actually what happened was, so I'm hanging around here. The game and the post-game show ended at about 2 minutes to three. You know? Yeah. So, but that's fine. I got the chance to do
it. Have
a
you
bunch
seen
of stuff.
What is the number? Like, what are we looking at for like average? Is it like 215, 220?
Yeah, something like that.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It is. But you know, from the perspective of a fan, I don't know about you, but I love it. You know, I go to a bunch of the games and stuff, and it's the thing that I used to hate, Steve, was the you'd go on a Tuesday night. And it starts at 10 after 7, and it's 9:30, and it's in the fourth or fifth inning.
Yeah.
It's just dragging around.
Think about this. So if you tailgate, that's, you know, hour or two before the game, and then you add another 4 hours. That's a long time commitment to one game.
Well, right. And you'd see, I mean, I'd see these people that brought families and stuff, and you'd have kids, and their attention spans just aren't that long,
no.
And it's 9:30 at night, and it's the fifth inning, and you see the mom and dad hauling the kids out because they're asleep. This way, the games get done in a reasonable period
Big
of time.
Big fan of the new rule.
Absolutely. All right. We've got a lot of stuff coming up on today's program, including we're naming names when it comes to some judicial sentences. That's where we start the program. There's a church festival, okay? A church festival over the weekend. You know what the headline is about the church festival? Four arrested, officers hurt. It's a church festival. We're going to talk about that a little bit, including something that emerged from that I think is an interesting and a disturbing trend. What is God's way of telling you that you have too much money? I have got an example of that, and we are going to discuss. I want to talk a little bit about admissions programs at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I don't know if you know this, but more than half of the incoming freshmen are from out of state. What happened to that? We're going to discuss the fact that this new downtown entertainment arena venue seems to be, well, if not dead, it seems to be on life support. We're going to talk a little bit about the shared revenue bill. But from the perspective of, you know, there's a number of aldermen in Milwaukee who say they might be willing to shoot this down. Really? All that and a lot more is coming up. It is a great show, I promise. The Wagner Show starts right after the top of the hour news.